And we're also going to actually unpack a really important topic here, and that is the connection between miscarriage, losing a baby, and low progesterone. Dr. Susan Caldwell, what's the connection here between the two, and is this something for someone who perhaps has had a miscarriage can actually work on?
Absolutely. Absolutely, Timmery. So, yeah, so many, many women end up with a miscarriage, a loss, or even preterm delivery. That's a major big one. So at the front end of pregnancy, miscarriage because of lack of progesterone, and the importance of progesterone is really on the uterus, the lining of the uterus in the early part of pregnancy. And in the later part of pregnancy, it's important that the progesterone is there to keep the uterus from contracting and delivering too early. So those are two places where progesterone is used to help help a pregnancy to be healthy.
That's Dr. Susan Caldwell here on Trending. I'm going to share a little bit of my story because I think it's important. Some of you followed me through the journey, and that is that my baby girl, when I first found out I was pregnant, it was a lot happened. There's a lot I could discuss. But one of the things that happened is right away, I knew, because I knew about Napro technology and some of my own health history, that I had a feeling my progesterone was low. And so I asked, please, will you check my progesterone levels? Now the doctor's like, oh no, you're fine, you're pregnant, you know, we don't need to check progesterone levels. And I said, no, please just run the labs, check my progesterone levels. Please make sure I'm within the right range. So I ended up asking them to check my progesterone levels. They checked the progesterone levels. They come running back. Oh my gosh, you're totally low. I said, yes, thank you. Just needed that. And I right away went to my Napro doctor, and they started to supplement progesterone. Why? Because being low in progesterone, it can lead to miscarriage. I've had some friends who have struggled with this as well. And in later pregnancies, they were able to save their baby with an intervention of the proper dosage based on where their levels were of progesterone. So Dr. Caldwell, you know, I know a lot of women are probably listening and they're going, wow, I had a miscarriage. I wonder what if. How do women proceed if they've had multiple miscarriages or even just one, moving forward both with hope and understanding that they didn't necessarily do anything wrong to cause this as well?
Right, right. I mean, really, women should not feel guilty at all because we can't control our progesterone level. I mean, that's just how it is. But also don't be surprised if you bring it up to your doctor because you're curious about it and they tell you, oh, we don't need to check that. I think any woman who suffered a miscarriage deserves to have it checked in her next pregnancy and ideally even before pregnancy. So if a woman has had a miscarriage and has some irregularities in her cycle, maybe some irregular bleeding or short cycles, or there's a number of things that can be seen on a natural family planning chart, like a Creighton chart, that could be a sign of low progesterone. So I've seen patients who've had many miscarriages, but yet have started progesterone right as soon as they've gotten the positive pregnancy test, and they've done fine in the following pregnancies.
Praise
but I've also
Lord.
Seen patients who have not. So for those patients, we tell them, and I try not to say this, but sometimes I tell people when they see me, do not try to get pregnant right now. You know, until we can assess these progesterone levels in the luteal phase, please don't get pregnant, because the lining has to be ready. That lining has to be ready for the implantation to be healthy. Mm-hmm. So, and especially for women who've been on birth control for a long time, their lining has not really had any progesterone stimulation of the lining to help it to grow and to practice, if you will, for an implantation, to grow mm-hmm. thick enough
right.
for an implantation. Right. So those women have linings that are just stagnant and very, very thin. So it's really important for those women to maybe have their progesterone checked, or just to give it more time, maybe. But really work with a doctor, a Napro doctor if possible. And now with telehealth, there's so many doctors that are available, who even if you don't have one near you.
Now, this is really, really important because, like you said, telehealth, there are Napro doctors available. I know so many people say, there's not a Napro doctor near me. I mean, I'd have to travel to a different state or hours. that's okay. Like you have said, telehealth can help with all of this. My Napro doctor all throughout my pregnancy monitored my progesterone levels without me having to see her in person very often. And it was rough. I had to go and have my blood drawn every 2 weeks because my progesterone level was just not leveling out. We had to continue to increase dosages. And if you've been on progesterone before, there are two ways to do it, or through three ways that I know of to do it. But it's not pleasant at times. It's effort. It's difficult. Yes. You can take oral progesterone, but there are other ways that might be necessary for taking progesterone. And it's a lot of work. And I mean, this is where kind of the whole NFP and natural family planning and Napro technology comes in. And one thing that you commented on, I just want to touch on it for anyone kind of kinking their head and going, wait, what? The church isn't in favor of birth control. They're not in favor of condoms or any type of barrier. What can you do if you, as you just said, might need to not get pregnant for a time? It's called abstinence. And it's a great thing for marriage. And sometimes it's necessary. And this would be considered a grave reason, as Pope Saint Paul VI lays out in Humana Vitae. You know, it should be for grave, very serious reasons that we abstain and try to avoid having children. And it's through abstinence. It's not through anything but. It's not through condoms. It's not through birth control, because in this instance, it's for a medical reason to help prepare the body for pregnancy. Now, one question, Dr. Caldwell, if someone has, let's say, polycystic ovarian syndrome, which often has to do with progesterone levels that can be off, would this be an instance where someone will often see miscarriages because of those progesterone levels and should really be working to have that balanced out?
Yes, especially in those women with PCOS who have very irregular cycles. I see that a lot, actually. Women who have trouble identifying their peak day, or might have very late peak days and short luteal phases, which is the time between ovulation and the next period, those women tend to be at much higher risk of miscarriage. So it's important for them to be charting and to be, you know, monitoring their hormones. Mm-hmm.
There are a ton of questions coming in. If you have a question for Napro fertility specialist, Dr. Susan Caldwell, go ahead and give us a call. The number is 1-888-914-9149. One of the questions that came in on Instagram, again, related to the miscarriage topic, Caitlin's asking, what role does sperm quality play in early miscarriage? You heard about this recently.
Much less of a role than anything, you know, anything on the woman side. I don't know, I don't know the exact data on that, but you know, sperm quality is important, absolutely important, but. You know, that tends to be poor sperm quality and problems with the sperm. It that tends to be an issue of the DNA, you know, a problem in terms of the DNA and a miscarriage because of a genetic problem. Mm-hmm. Right. But it's so hard for those little sperm to make it. You know, they've got a big journey. They've got a big journey to make. So the ones that make it and fertilize the egg, man, they're doing pretty good. They've got good motility. They probably have good morphology, which means the shape. But if they were to fertilize the egg, and that were to cause, and there were to be a miscarriage because of the sperm, it's more likely because of a genetic issue than a sperm quality issue.
Okay, a follow-up question, because we are hearing an increase in male infertility, and I know many Napro doctors do recommend that even while women are working on anything that may be going on with regard to their fertility, that their spouses do the same. So when I first went to my Napro doctor, she gave me a paper and said, hey, take this home. It's good to also work on your husband's sperm quality as well, just while we're working on everything else. So only on Catholic radio. How do you improve sperm quality?
Okay, so just like with women's health, reproductive health, men's reproductive health has to start in the same place, right? To be healthy, right? So to eat right, to get enough sleep, to exercise, to drink enough water. I mean, all the basics of health. So if there are any really bad habits that a man has, like, you know, eating a lot of fried food, or or drinking a lot of alcohol or smoking, like all that stuff needs to go. You know, men have to take care of their bodies and watching their weight, making sure, you know, they're just in the best health. And that's the one way, the first way, the basic way to help sperm quality. There are medications for prescription medications that can help. I'll say this is super important that no man who is trying to conceive take testosterone. That will render him infertile.
Oh, really? So explain.
Mm-hmm. Yes. So often men who are tired or who have low sex drive will go to their doctors and ask about to check their testosterone, and their testosterone might be low. In men of childbearing, I say men of childbearing age, of course, men can always potentially bear a child, you know, have a father a child, but men who are young and healthy, they shouldn't have low testosterone. So we always want to look for the reason why they have low testosterone. You know, are they unhealthy in another way than not taking care of themselves? They working too hard, not getting enough sleep anyway, things like that. But sometimes doctors will start putting them on testosterone injections, which what happens there is it when a man's on testosterone injections, there's a feedback loop. So the feedback to the brain is we've got it feeds back and it says we've got too much testosterone. So the testicles will stop making it.
Interesting.
So
okay.
then the sperm won't be there. Like it's a negative effect on the reproductive organs, which in men are the testicles. So it's really important, and I see that in young men. So that's important. There are vitamins. So vitamin C is one that can help with motility. Alpha lipoic acid, vitamin D. There's something called pycnogenol that can help with motility. There are different vitamins and supplements on the market that are fairly safe. I see some of the ones that people bring me and I look up. They seem safe when I look them up. So maybe run it by maybe the doctor who's treating the woman for sure should look at all of that. Because the male doctors don't always know.
Right. Okay. So many questions coming in. One, briefly, if you could just answer shortly. And I'll actually share what prenatal vitamin I take because you take it when you're nursing everything as well. It's excellent. But the question is, I'll post this later on Instagram maybe over the weekend. For preconception, Alba Baz is asking this on Instagram. For preconception vitamins, what is better, folate or folic acid?
Definitely folate.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Methylfolate. That word methylfolate should ideally be in the vitamin. In case you're someone who doesn't convert the folic acid to the optimal form of that vitamin, which is folate. Some women genetically can't do that. So it's best to go ahead and take that optimal form, which is the methylfolate.
Excellent. Okay. Question. Susie from Illinois is calling, asking, where could we go for a NAPRO doctor in Illinois? A lot of people are asking the same question for their state, their city. We posted on my Twitter, you can find me at Timri, T-I-M-M-E-R-I-E, a link to fertility specialist, how you can find one near you. And also, if need be, do a little digging to find a NAPRO specialist via telemedicine. There are many out there. If there's not one close enough to you, again, we posted that on Twitter. And when the podcast of this episode goes up tonight, that link will also be included in the podcast. So be sure to subscribe at relevantradio.com/trending. A lot of questions coming in. Here's a question coming in. I know this is a hot one. We could take an hour discussing it, but if we could briefly touch on this. Christina is calling from Los Angeles. And Christina, what's your question for Dr. Caldwell?
Hi, Timri. My husband and I are trying to get pregnant, and we're just hesitant about the vaccine and what that can do, if that's going to possibly impair our chances of getting pregnant, and also, I mean, what could happen to the baby?
Excellent question, Christina. Dr. Caldwell, can you speak to this? Oh, I think we lost Dr. Caldwell there for a second. So great question, Christina. This is one that a lot of people... Oh, here we go. We can hear Dr. Caldwell. Go ahead.
Yes, sorry about that.
Go ahead and answer the question.
All I heard was she was trying to get pregnant.
Oh, yeah.
I'm sorry. I missed it.
thoughts on receiving the vaccine, the COVID vaccine, while trying to conceive?
Yeah. So, okay. So this is very individual. Okay. So you definitely want to talk to your doctor. So what I tell my patients, the vast majority, I recommend getting the vaccine. Okay. It's becoming, you know, much more, we're seeing a lot more safety data there. And we're also seeing that in pregnancy, there's a lot of vulnerability there with the mom and baby that pregnant women can get very sick. So I do recommend that you get it in general. However, I have told several of my patients to wait to get it. And the reason why I do that is because as I'm looking at their chart, I see there are problems and we haven't found the solution to those problems yet. So while we're still figuring out why they're not ovulating or why their progesterone levels are very low, things like that, I tell them, just hold off until we at least get you on a treatment plan, find out what's wrong and get you on a treatment plan. And at that point, once things look like they're okay, then go ahead and get the vaccine. So in your case, if your cycles look good and there's every evidence that you're ovulating, and things are going well, then yes, I think go ahead and get the vaccine. But if there are a lot of concerns and maybe you've been struggling and you've been infertile for more than 6 months, maybe it would be a good idea to start working on that with a NAPRO doctor before getting the vaccine.
And I'll just share personal experience. Our NAPRO doctor, you know, same thing. There's a lot of controversy what to do. I have advised not to, given the difficulty in conceiving babies. And I know a lot of NAPRO doctors, and Dr. Caldwell, you and I have talked about this. You know, if there's difficulty and if there are concerns surrounding reactions and everything, for many people, they're holding off because there can be so many question marks in the realm of fertility today. We're hearing trends about women who are miscarrying after having the vaccine or who are having off cycles. And so I think this is, you know, a moment, an opportunity, a prudential discernment as we're protecting our motherhood and planning for the future. That's been Dr. Susan Caldwell. Find her on social media. We've tagged her on Instagram. She'll be back again soon to take your questions surrounding fertility.